Welcome to another edition of the Exponential Podcast. I'm Todd Wilson, Director of Exponential. We're thrilled you're taking advantage of this free resource that was recorded at the Exponential Conference. It's part of a library of hundreds of hours of free training. In our mission to equip church planning leaders, we seek to distribute as many free resources as possible. Visit exponential.org to learn more and to check out the programming for the upcoming Exponential Conference.
Okay, so as we get started, as we start here, I would love for you guys to just shout out some of the most common leadership dilemmas in your church when it comes to training your volunteers, and I'll record them up here. So just shout them out. Time? Yes, yeah, scheduling it where everyone can come. Yeah, and if you can't find a time where everyone comes, what do? You like do it multiple times, right? Right, so repetition. What else? Attendance, yeah. Like resources in terms of stuff to give them, what to teach. Yeah, I mean, we could continue to go on here, right? But I mean, it's this whole repetition. Did I spell that right? Sorry. So the idea is, I mean, think about this, right? Think about the times you've trained your volunteers. When's the last time 100% of your volunteers came out to one of your events? Right? Get this. There, I was in a conversation yesterday. And there was a time, I don't remember this time, okay? But there was a time when you had to do, like if your church was not training your Sunday school leaders weekly on Wednesday nights, you were not doing a good job. Like this isn't like having your Sunday school or having small group on a Wednesday. This is like gathering all your Sunday school teachers together on a Wednesday night to train them on a weekly basis, right? Like that's what it used to be, right? And it was kind of like you'd have people stand up being like, hey, unless you're doing this, you're not doing a good job leading and training. And I mean, that's kind of, we've made such a shift now to where it's like, hey, I mean, I can't give up a Saturday, right? I can't give up an evening. I can't do this. And it's so hard to get 100% of your leaders out. I mean, do you ever find yourself summarizing training for those who missed it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A big raw, right? I mean, it's, you know, you summarize training, maybe it's a email you send out or, you know, you're repeating yourself over and over and over again. And obviously if everyone cleared their schedules like they should, right? And every time you send out an email, you had like a magic button to clear their schedules and, you know, enforce your training event on, I mean, your church would be so much bigger and healthier and, you know, more, you know, you'd be more incarnational. You'd be able to reach, I mean, right? Unfortunately, that's not the type of technology we're talking about today. That would be cool, though. So is the solution then to hold additional training events? Is the solution then to record your training events? Is the solution then to summarize your training events and get them to read it? Or is your solution to forego formal training completely? Right? I mean, what is it? Right? It's such a dilemma that we have. Because we know that leadership, time and time again, with the sites we've started, with plants, church plants that we've partnered with, that I've consulted with, time and time again, John Maxwell says this the best, right? I mean, their potential, their leadership potential is what caps them, right? That's the ceiling. So we have the responsibility, you know, if you look at Ephesians 4, not just to do the ministry, but to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And to equip them, we need to train them. But how do we do that well? Well, you're here today because you want to learn how to use technology to unleash a culture of multiplication. In other words, how do we take advantage of the benefits of technology without dehumanizing it? Right? I'm not saying, hey, you know, robots and AI and, you know, that's not what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about how do you leverage technology, right? How do you use technology so it's high tech, but also high touch in your ministry? And how do you do it in a way that both the digital native, right, who's 18 and they don't even know a world without Google? Literally, if you're 18, you do not remember a time in your life when there was no Google, to training an 80-year-old who is a faithful Sunday school teacher, right? And you try to, and they just got an iPhone, right? And they're like, this is awesome. And you open up their screen and they have it like magnified one app, you know, per, right? But, okay, sorry for all those who magnify. I'm not a hater. Okay, but really, how do we create an environment? Here's the golden question. How do you create an environment where you are free to do what only you can uniquely do while scaling everything else? I don't know about you, but I can meet with volunteers and leaders all day long and cast the vision and try to motivate them and help them understand, hey, you are first and foremost called to be a missionary. I can do that all day long. Right? And I can motivate them to be a part of our church. I can cast it. I could do that. I love that. But when it comes to, okay, this is how you ask a question in a life group, right? Or this is how you do not, these are the children's policies, right? For your children's leaders, or this is what it looks like to lead a classroom, or, you know, that kind of skill training, I can do it, but I don't want to do it all day. Anyone get me? Anyone on the same page as me as that? So how do we do it where our time uniquely, where we can spend the majority of our time vision casting, motivating, recruiting leaders, and teaching our leaders how to do that, but then leveraging out and scaling out the basic skills training that they need, right? That's the vision of this. So in order to do this, I want to talk about the idea of flipping the classroom. So who's heard of flipping the classroom before? 2, 3, a few shy people. The idea of flipping the classroom, this is a hot topic in the educational world. It's not a new thing. It's by no means, but it has worked really well in the educational world. So much so that there are county districts, there are school districts that are beginning to pioneer this and work towards it just because they are seeing, and I'll show you some stats here, but they're seeing less failure. They're seeing less dropout. They're seeing more retention. They're seeing so much benefit. So think about this. And don't think about, if you have children here, don't think about the way your kids are being taught, because this, for some districts and some parts of our country and around the world, they're actually doing this amongst children now. Okay. But think back to when you were a kid and you were in grade school, right? The teacher was the sage on the stage, right? The teacher was the expert. The teacher was the one who would, you know, write the math problem on the board. Yeah, with chalk, exactly, right? The classroom time would be the teacher lecturing, the teacher teaching. Maybe there would be some time for homework, or not even homework. Maybe there would be some time for exercises, right? But majority, it's the teacher teaching, lecturing, the teacher. And then what happens is the teacher has to standardize. They have to figure out what level am I teaching towards. And then what happens is the homework is completed at home, right? Now, I mean, 30, 20, 30, 40 years ago, by and large, there still were two-parent families. This day and age, I mean, you'd be surprised if there's more than 50% of a classroom that had both parents at home, right? So, I mean, as a result, if someone has one parent, then there's the parent is working, right? How do they help with homework? There's all that. When I grew up, my parents were always working. I can count on my two hands the number of times that I actually had dinner with everyone. I had three sisters. My parents immigrated in the 70s from Korea. Like, they just had to work all the time so that they could feed us, right? That was like basic necessity. And as a result, if I had homework to do, my three older sisters didn't want to help me, right? Like, they didn't want anything to do with their little brother, right? So my parents had to hire a tutor if I had questions. I couldn't call my teacher. Right. Sometimes when I was a little bit older, I would study with my friends. But that's the dilemma, right? In the flipped classroom, so that's the traditional classroom. In the flipped classroom, what happens is the teacher, instead of the teacher being the sage on the stage, the teacher is the guide on the side. Okay? The teacher, instead of being the sage on the stage, the teacher is the guide on the side. So what happens is the student watches the lecture at home. Khan Academy. I'm sure most of us have heard of Khan Academy. It's fantastic, right? But teachers are leveraging something like a Khan Academy, And what they're doing is they're not teaching kids like foundational lessons via video, right? They're not saying, hey, this is how you multiply two numbers together. That's not the lesson that's conveyed at home. They'll teach the foundational lesson, like this is what multiplication is, but then the lessons that add on to that, that's how they'll leverage technology. That's what they'll leverage technology to teach. So what happens is the student watches the lecture at home via video. If the student doesn't get it, what happens if the student doesn't get it in a traditional classroom? If they're brave enough, they raise their hand, right? And they ask. Have you ever had a teacher that would get a little bit annoyed when you ask a question? And then they would, especially in college, right? Like, and they would repeat that and they would tell you. And then if you don't look like this and if you don't say, oh, yeah, okay, you would look like an idiot, right? Because they're answering you in a condescending tone, but in reality, you have no idea what he's saying. That was organic chemistry for me, right? I failed that in college because it was so hard. I mean, that's the idea. What happens if you're in the flipped classroom, if the student doesn't get something that was said, or they zoned out, which we all do, and I know you're going to do here as well, right? If you zone out, what happens? You rewind and you watch it again. You can't do that in a traditional classroom. And then what happens is the student watches the lecture at home and then they do some sort of accountability homework. It's not a like, hey, watch the lecture and complete all your homework. It's watch the lecture, reflect on it, or do some sort of basic comprehensive type of work so that you know that they've watched it. When they come to the classroom, that's when they do their homework. That's when they not only do independent homework, they'll do group exercises. They'll do different ways to learn. And if a student doesn't get it, if they didn't get the lecture, the teacher can now spend individual time with the person, right? They don't need to standardize the lesson to the lowest common denominator. So here's a neat infographic. The flipped classroom, so sage on the stage versus the guide on the side. This is some of the theoretical framework. In a flipped classroom, you learn through activity. It influences the learning environment. You're using technology. How it came to be. Here's some background. And I have this all on my website, so you guys can take a look at that later. But what I wanted to show you here was a test study on this. Before a flipped classroom, 50% of freshmen failed English, 44 failed math, 736 discipline cases in one semester. After piloting a flipped classroom model, 19% failed English, 13% failed math, and there are 249 discipline cases. And we all know with kids, who are the why are troublemakers troublemakers? They're bored, right? They're bored. Or there's other issues going on at home, or maybe they're bored because they don't get it, or they're bored because they get it, right? And it's just the idea with the flip the classroom is if the kid gets it, they don't need to watch the video, right? They don't need to waste their time. They can come to class and do something that advances and learns, because we all learn better by doing than just by sitting and listening, right? So that's the idea of flipping the classroom. So what does flipping the classroom have to do with leadership development in our church? Well, if you stepped in a little bit late, I mean, these were dilemmas that we listed based on, you know, some of the dilemmas that we would face when training leaders. So when you look at flipping the classroom, like, you know, and those leadership dilemmas, like, hey, when's the last time 100% of your leaders came out to an event? Do you ever find yourself repeating or summarizing training for those who missed it? How frequently do you hold orientation training? You know, these kind of questions, these kind of dilemmas. If your solution to those dilemmas is just to offer alternate training events, right? And we see this model, right? It's either if you are, you know, plus 100 people, plus 200 people in your church, and you want to launch your life groups or train up new kids leaders for a new or youth leaders, what you do is you hold like orientation training seminars in an August or in a September, or for guest services, all brand new ushers come to this one event and you advertise it, you get people to come, right? I mean, that's one model of doing it. But you don't get 100%. So you say, okay, I'm going to email the people, or otherwise I'm going to host, hey, here are the three times that we're going to host it. You still won't get 100% out, right? So what you end up doing is you then meet individually with the people, because 2 weeks later, what if someone comes up and they're like, hey, I missed it, but I really want to volunteer. You're not going to tell them to wait 3 months, right? Because we all need volunteers. So you're going to say, oh, okay, yeah, for sure. So now you've had the big training event, spent so much time preparing it, and now you're still meeting with people individually. If you're under 100 people, most likely you're just going to meet with people as they want to volunteer and serve, right? Because you're not going to wait to have a big class or a big – you may not even have a venue. So just let Starbucks be your venue, and you know, you just meet and train people as per needed. So that's the stuff that we deal with, right? We deal with that. I deal with that on a daily basis. So – by flipping the classroom, this is what it boils down to. By flipping the classroom, you would have more time to do what only you can uniquely do. And I think that's the key to leadership. That's the key to breaking barriers. That's the key to breaking through that glass ceiling, right? It's to figure out what are the things that I can only uniquely do. And then beginning to delegate or equip others and help others get empowered. Because the reality is, the things that you're weak at, someone's strong at. Right? And if you think you're strong at everything, you have a lot of blind spots. And this is, and understand this, if you have millennials in your church, this is one of the biggest issues with millennials. Okay, which is why a lot of startup tech companies don't have admin assistants, and why you'll look at this generation of, hey, if you are not saying anything about age, but just the generation of leadership generation, if you're 40, 50 plus, the idea is if you're in senior leadership, you should have an admin assistant, right? I mean, that's not saying anything. That's just normal, right? But if you look at millennials, they're like, I don't want an admin assistant because I can do what that, if it takes me more time to explain what I want them to do, I'll just do it myself. And I don't care if that person has a degree in Photoshop. I can just Google it and figure it out myself. Right? That's the attitude of millennials. I'm just going to do it myself because I don't want to maybe, and plus they're not going to call someone else, right? They're going to text. So it's going to take too much time to text someone what to do. You know what I'm talking about? It's easier just to binge watch, you know, a show on Netflix, stick it on the TV and just figure it out on YouTube, right? That's the notion, you know, that's the MO of millennials, right? And that's important for us to understand as we raise up these new leaders and volunteers in our churches. But even they can understand that if they can figure out what they can only uniquely do, that's going to lead to a life of greatness, right? To greater kingdom impact. So, let's see. Let me share with you four different ways to flip the classroom in your church. And we started at 8:45, right? Okay, that's good. So I'll share you four different ways that you can flip the classroom in your church. The first one is to actually flip your training events. All right, so think about the last time you trained your leader. I'm not talking about your orientation training. I'm just talking about ongoing training. Like, hey, I want to continue to equip my small group leaders. I want to continue to equip our student leaders or our ushers. Let's call out the steps. What would you do? You're organizing a training event for your small group leaders. What do you do? First thing. Yeah, invite them, right? Ask for an RSVP. Yeah, and then what do you do? What do you do at the training event? Styrofoam coffee, right? Right? No, but what do you guys, pardon me? You feed them, okay? Yeah, so some feed. Others have, you know, light refreshments. Okay, and then what do you do in a training event? Train them. How do you train them? What do you do to train them? You talk? Yeah, you teach. Yeah, what? 15 minutes? 20 minutes? Try to get your senior pastor there? Right? Maybe do like a 5-minute motivational talk? Saying, I believe in you, right? And then they go do their other thing. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. And then what do you do? After you teach a lesson, then what? take home stuff, ask questions, follow up emails, group exercises, you know, all that. Normal, right? I mean, that's standard training. The fact is we teach the way we've been taught, right? And we lead the way we've been led. Because we teach the way we've been taught, this goes to marriage, right? If you're married here, have you ever, or if you're a parent here, have you ever had a moment where you were like, shoot, I feel like my parents right now? You ever had that moment? You're like, I swore to myself that I would never do that. But you end up doing it, right? Because we lead the way, or you're doing something, or you're parenting, or you're interacting with your spouse in a way that is completely opposite to the way that you saw your parents doing it or others doing it, because you made a conscious choice to do something different, right? But the reality is most of us teach the way we've been taught and we lead the way we've been led, which is why flipping the classroom is such a radical idea, because most of us have not experienced this in schooling. 20 years from now, we'll probably be teaching kids, hey, you know what the sage on the stage looks like? They're like, what is that? One person talking for 50 minutes? I can't sit through a 50-minute, you know, conferences aren't going to be preach-offs anymore, you know, in 20, 30 years. Maybe in 60 years, it'll revert back to that, right? Because things tend to swing. Okay, and then what happens? Maybe you would coach the leaders, right? Maybe you would follow up with them. Okay. That's what a traditional training event looks like. What would a flipped training event look like? Well, when you send the invite out to all your leaders, you would send a link out to a video. Maybe it would be a video here on this side or that side, or maybe it would be on a learning management system. But regardless of how you send out the video, you know, you would send a video out. That would be, maybe it would be you teaching 10, what you would teach in a 30-minute seminar, you could teach in 10 minutes on a video, right? Because in a 30-minute seminar, you got to do this interaction. People are going to fall asleep. You got to wake them up. You got to say stuff. You know, there's things that you got to do, things you have to repeat in a live training session. In a video, you don't have to do that. In a video, you just shoot the information. If they don't get it, they watch it again, right? So it's always shorter in a video. So the video would be like, you know, 10, 15 minutes long. After the video, you would then say, hey, here's a brief assignment. Like, write out one thought you had about this video, or write out how you've seen this work in your group, or write out how you, one way that you might apply this into your ministry. So it'd be a really low barrier, easy to answer, no risk, right? If you ask them to do too much or to answer too much, they will not, they just won't come to your training event, right? Because they know you're going to ask them, did you do the homework? Right? And if you know you didn't do it, you're less likely to go because you don't want to be embarrassed. So it would be a really easy, like you could do this on your phone type of thing, like really easy. And then when they come to the training event, yeah, you'd still have your meal if you want a meal, or, you know, have it wherever you want, or, you know, coffee, you know, you'd still have all that stuff, but the time allocation would be different. Instead of the majority of that time being devoted to a sage on the stage type of talk, you would maybe still have your senior pastor there, or if you're the senior pastor, you would be there. You know, you would still do that. Maybe, hey, here's why we value you. Here's why this is important. Here's why, you know, you would help them understand the why. I mean, Simon Sinek, the book, the TED Talk, Start With Why, fantastic stuff. You would still do that. But instead of spending 30 minutes teaching a lesson, you would then, after saying the why, maybe you'd do a 5-minute recap. But then you would use case studies. You would use group brainstorming. You would do stuff. You would do team building activities. You would do ways to help them understand, right? When I was training our missional community leaders, and these were like leaders who would lead groups of 20 to 50 people. This was the way that we launched campuses and identified future sites at our church, back in my previous church. When we were training these guys and on the week, we were helping them understand how to work as a team. Okay, I was trying to help them work as a team because the missional community leader had to bring their leadership team with them to our training. I would actually ask them to, I would give them 20 minutes to figure out how to throw a block party for their neighborhood. Right? I wouldn't tell them this is how you do it, or this is how you throw an easy event. I didn't teach them that. I could have taught them. But I said, hey, figure it out. You have 20 minutes. And I would let them do it, and then I would let them present. And inevitably what happens is they would learn from one another, because there's way more knowledge in this room than there is in anyone ever that stands up and teaches, right? Way more. So the idea of flipping the classroom is leveraging an adult's experience, an individual's experience. That's basic adult ed 101. Everyone comes with experience. Everyone, and to help them learn, you need to leverage that life experience, right? So what you do is you get them to brainstorm, and then after, they're now teaching each other. And then if there's something that they didn't get that you really wanted to hammer home, you would then summarize it at the end. So that's what a flipped training event would look like. If you do feedback forms after a flipped training event, I guarantee you that you're going to get way higher ratings of engagement, of retention, of development, than if you were to do the normal type of training event. Here's the thing, though. You would think a flipped training event would be easier to organize because you're not teaching as much. It's actually a little bit trickier. It doesn't necessarily take more time, but you just have to think differently. Right? It is more strategy. It is more strategic, because it's like, how do I convey something that I could teach in 10 minutes, hoping that everyone captures 20% of what I just said? Versus, but here's the thing. When you teach something for 10 minutes, you feel good, right? Because you're like, I taught something. And even though others may have only retained 20% of what you said, you feel good, right? You really do. And I remember college professors who would just lecture on and on and on for 3 hours. They wouldn't even hate questions. And this guy was like a Harvard grad. It was my English lit class. I'm like, he was so stinking smart, right? But I would go to the classroom with my friend, sit up at the top of like the 300-person lecture room, and we would intentionally just go there and sleep because we couldn't understand organic chemistry, right? Which was always the class before, right? Because you don't retain that way. But I guarantee you there would be far more retention if people are doing exercises because they're learning. Here's adult ed illustrated. Okay, this is really all you really need to know about adult education. Okay, when you came here today, you read the title, right? I mean, you didn't come because Daniel Im was here. You don't even know who Daniel Immer is, right? But you came because you saw the title of the seminar. Right, you said using technology to unleash a cultural multiplication. Or maybe it was something, maybe it was the freebies, maybe it was whatever it was in the description. But you came because there's something in the title. There's a felt need. Right? There's just something in there that was like, hey, I want to come and I'll learn. When you came and you stepped into here, you all had some sort of assumption as to what was going to be covered. You're like, I know technology. What is this guy going to teach me? Or I know education, or I know leadership training, or I know. There's something about the topic that you already knew. I asked you this question, right? I asked this to you in order, because this is what you know. When you came in and you saw the topic, this circle, what I'm doing, this represents all the knowledge that you might have known when you came in on this topic, right? On this topic. Right? So the trick of the educator, the trick of you as the leader, of the trainer, is to draw this out. Because unless you can draw this out of all the volunteers that are coming, they will not retain what you're trying to teach them. Right? You need to, because this is everything that you know about this. So if you're when small group leaders come and you're trying to teach them how to lead a small group or how to coach a small group, this is what they know about group leadership. This. You're trying to draw it out, because in order for you, once you draw it out, then they can see what they actually know about it. Unless we all understand what we know, because a lot of us, we don't know what we actually know. right? That's the reality, which is why we teach the way we've been taught. Because subconsciously, there's just stuff that we just do things the way we do it, because that's always the way that we've done it, right? And if you grew up with dogs and you got married, if you were a kid and you grew up with dogs and you got married, what was the assumption? We're going to have a dog. It's like, why wouldn't we have a dog? Because it's normal, right? And your spouse didn't grow up with dogs and hates dogs. And they're like, why in the world would we spend money on a dog, right? So that's the thing. The trick is, so the reason I asked this to you, because I wanted you, I mean, I knew the answer, right? But I wanted you to say the answer, because I wanted you to say, I remember the last time I did that. And I remember not everyone came out. Oh yeah, I remember that. The trick is, by doing that, now you are in a soft spot to be able to teach something new, right? So what happened is I drew it out. And then I said, hey, this is the way that we usually teach. So you're like, oh, yeah, this is what I know. I totally resonate with that. And then I say, hey, here's the new concept, flipping the classroom. And you're like, oh, well, flipping the classroom looks differently than what I think. But there are elements of that that I agree with. Cool. So by the end of the seminar, I don't expect you to take 100% of this home with you. But by me drawing this out in you, I hope that you can take at least one thing away. That you can take one thing away, incorporate it, so now you have six things that you know about this. You wrap it up and you stick it back into the storehouse. That's how adults learn. Does that make sense? So the trick is, you just need to draw them out, add a new concept, and allow them to apply it. When you allow people to process with one another, do the block party exercise, talk with your neighbor, do case studies. When you do that, you're allowing them to see what they actually know. This is what I think, which is why you ask people questions. Like, well, when's the last time you what's the worst team experience you've ever had? Right? Which is a question I'm going to ask in the next seminar. Right? What's the worst team experience you've ever had? Because in the next seminar, the one that's happening after this, I'm going to talk about systems that develop a leadership pipeline, right? I'm going to talk about how you develop leadership teams. And in order for me to teach that, I need to ask you, what's the worst team experience you've ever been a part of? Because you're now going to see, okay, yeah, this is what I think about teams. And then I'm going to introduce, hey, here are the three types of teams. What type of leader are you? Right? And then I bring in the new concept. Does that make sense? So that's the premise of adult education. I hope that was beneficial. I hope you could at least take something away from that. But that's the idea. You flip in flipping a training event. When the training event is over, you could possibly assign ongoing training via a series of videos, but you know, it depends on your model. Well, let's look at the next one, flipping your new leader's orientation. Right? And after I go through these four, we'll take a brief time for questions and then I'll continue on. Okay. So flip your new leader's orientation. So this is the whole dilemma I talked about before. When you're under 100 people in your church, you're going to just do one-on-one volunteer training as needed, right? You're not going to wait to hold a big event because you just need volunteers as you go. When you get a little bit bigger and you're like, okay, now people understand, there's a little bit of a process, then maybe you would do like the big orientation event, but inevitably after the big orientation event, you're still going to do the one-on-one stuff. So that's traditionally how new leaders orientation training. In the flipped new leaders orientation, much like the traditional orientation, and I'm saying you could do the big orientation training event, or you could do the one-on-one thing, right? It doesn't matter. You could do either one based on the size of your church and the size of your staff and your availability. But here's the key in the flipped new leaders orientation. In a flipped new leader's orientation does not start the moment you have coffee with them. And orientation does not start the moment that you have your big training event. Still do it the way you want to do it, right? But that's not when orientation begins. Orientation begins when you know that they're interested in volunteering, right? They say, hey, or you've identified them, right? You've been praying and you're like, oh, that person would be awesome in this. And you say, hey, can you meet? Like, are you interested? And before you meet and train them and teach them what's all about, you're probably going to get a soft yes, right? Before you do the training, because you're not going to train someone who doesn't want to be trained, right? You're going to get that soft yes. So once that soft yes, you get that, you then sign, hey, here's like here's one 10-minute video. Can you just watch this before we meet? Hey, here's like a one pager that describes what it looks like to be a volunteer here. You know, it shares a little bit of our vision, but here's kind of what I expect. And then they watch the video, and the video is 5 minutes of you explaining the vision of the ministry, motivating. And then the next 5 minutes is like, hey, here's what it would look like to volunteer to be a part of this. And then when you get together, you know, they're already primed. They're already ready. Right? So that's how the orientation begins. If you wanted to, you could always do that, meet with them, and I'll show you a little graph as to how you could do it. Or you could do that, you know, aside the video, and then after that first video, they then get two skills training videos, and then you meet with them and coach them. Or you could do the first video, meet with them, and then assign three skills training videos, and then meet with them again after a couple weeks. There's lots of ways that you can do this. But the idea is the orientation doesn't begin the first time you meet them. Well, what does ongoing training look like, right? I'm not talking about the big training event. I'm not talking about orientation training. I'm talking about they're trained. They're leading. This is the small group leader that's been leading for 30 years, right? And multiple churches. And you're scared of training them, right? Because you know you probably think they know everything. Because they've been doing this for 30 years. It's their church. You know, it's just like, there are those people. But, well, you have the responsibility. Hey, how do I continue to train? How do I continue to support? How do I continue to coach? Well, in ongoing training, traditionally, you would have a regularly scheduled coaching appointment. Maybe you would send out an email newsletter. Maybe you'd do a printed newsletter. However you do that. In the flipped model, what you could do is you could do this. Every volunteer that comes into your ministry can be pretty much categorized somewhere in these three levels. So this is the person who might have been an usher and they want to lead a small group for the first time. They've never led a small group. So if you want them to be a small group leader, they're going to be beginners. This is the person who, you know, they've led a small group before, like one small group before in college. It's been 20 years or 15 years, and they know basic stuff. So maybe they do this and then they do that, or maybe you start them in this track. This is the person who's been doing it in multiple churches, or maybe they have a seminary degree. You know they know how to lead a group. You just want them to start at leading a group because you don't want to assign them to be a coach before they understand the values of your church. So you get them in here. In ongoing training, what you do is you assess where they're at, and then you give them a specific track of development based on their level. Now, don't do this without technology, because you drive yourself crazy, right? Like, you would literally drive yourself crazy. You'd have to hire a full-time person to do something like that. And even a full-time staff person in discipleship could not pull that off for every ministry area. The only way that you could pull that off is with technology, right? Which is the whole scalability thing. This would be both high tech, because you're using technology, and you're saying, hey, instead of me teaching the 30-year Sunday school teacher what we usually do in all our orientation training is standardized, right? Right? It doesn't matter, you know, you have to do this or you have to do that. A lot of times that's what we do. But instead of doing that, you say, hey, I value your experience, but you still need to be trained. I'm going to train you in a way that's contextual, that you're going to actually benefit from and enjoy doing. Right? We all like that, right? Okay. So the last thing, and this is a quick one, is flipping your staff development. And this is like training events, right? I mean, if you have paid staff, a traditional church model, paid staff, then, you know, you just be training them the way you train volunteers. You just do it during work time, right? If you're bivocational or you're training your lay leaders, maybe you do it in the evening or on Saturday morning, but it would just be pretty much the same type of thing. Okay, so before we get to integration and how to integrate technology into this, do we have any questions? Yeah, I mean, the idea is the three people that don't come, they still got the lesson that you wanted them to get, right? So you don't have to repeat yourself by reteaching them that lesson, because the lesson's in the video. The only thing they missed out on is maybe integration, right? So maybe you would say, hey, the three of you guys missed out. Can you maybe answer this one question? Or how do you, ideally you would meet with them, right? But when you meet with them, you don't have to train them, right? You're doing more processing. If you can't meet with them in a timely fashion, you just say, you'd pop them a question over email, right? Say, hey, what would you do in a situation like this? Just so that you're allowing them to think about the training a little bit more and checking to make sure that they watched it. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So number one, it has to be easy enough for them to do it. They have to be able to do it on their phone, right? That's the key. They have to do it on their phone, right? You have to be able to do it so that when they're, you know, in transit or waiting for their kids, picking up their kids, or they're doing this, that they can just pull up their phone, see an email from you and say, okay, I'm going to watch it. Okay. The other thing is accountability, which is why you want to do a brief exercise afterwards. Because if you don't do that brief exercise, you're not going to have a lot of people watching it because there's no accountability. If you know someone's going to ask you a question, you are way more likely to do what you need to do, right? It's just, that's human nature. Scalability-wise, you'd want to use technology to do that. Yeah, but you don't want to assign a brand new volunteer, hey, before you volunteer, do this quiz. All right, SurveyMonkey, right, or whatever. You know, you can't. It'd be like that'd be so impersonal, right? You would meet with them. You would say, okay, yeah, you are on board, sharing your vision. They're in. You're like, hey, before we start training, all our volunteers get trained. It's just a way that we continue to grow in leadership. Can you just answer these 10 questions or 15 questions, and that'll give us a better idea as to how to train you better, best, so that this isn't useless? Because in the corporate world, training hours are useless, right? They're not useless to the trainer. They're not useless to HR, right? They think that's their job. They need to do it. But to every employee, it's like, why in the world do I need to watch this? Why in the world do I need to do this? It's useless. But if you give them something that they're like, that is at their level, they're going to be more likely to want to watch it. If you want to incorporate this model, the most important decision that you need to make is what platform you want to build this on. Because in order to effectively deploy a model like this, like a flip the classroom model, you need to be able to find relevant content to use in your training, right? You could obviously film all the content yourself, but it takes time, right? It takes time. And we all know you could film yourself here, you know, on your phone, Snapchat, Vine, you know, you could do that. It works, right? It works. But when it comes to training, it often doesn't make the cut because just when it comes to training, if something is low quality, your assumption is that it's not worth your time watching. If it's your friend sharing about something or if it's you talking about something, that's fine, right? It's like, oh yeah, hey, it's your kid's recital, right? It's a shaky hand. It's fine. You'll watch it, right? But if it's training and development, then it's like your volunteers wouldn't give it as much credibility as if it was filmed well, right? That's just a subconscious thing. So you need relevant content, right? You can't just like grab content illegally with, you know, ripping off, you know, here and there and just send it to your leaders. You need to be able to do it in a way that is full of integrity, right? And if you want to develop your own content, you just need to film it. That's fine. But you do need to upload that somewhere. And when you upload it to somewhere, you want to be able to know if they've watched it or not, right? You don't just want to say, hey, go watch it. I'm going to look at all the views on YouTube and hope that matches the number of people. Because you've probably watched half of those views, right? Gonna boost my numbers. You need to be able to know if they actually watched it, which is why you do accountability, you know, follow-up questions and whatnot. But still, you want to know that they have watched it. And you want to be able to track as well. So that's why a platform is so important to all of this. It's not just about shooting a couple of YouTube videos and uploading it. Anyone can do that. But it's about how do you really leverage technology the way that you can and unleash it to multiply your leaders. And that's where I want to encourage you to check out Ministry Grid. Now, full disclosure, Ministry Grid is a product of Lifeway. I'm not now going into sales mode, okay? I'm not going into, if you don't go with Ministry Grid, that's fine. Okay, there's other platforms out there, but I just want to make you aware of this. And the reason I want to make you aware of this is because if you're a church planter and under 2 years old, right? Not, you know, your church is under two. We'll actually give you a year free of Ministry Grid, completely free. After that, if you're a church plant, I mean, it's very affordable. But I just want to share this to you because when we built Ministry Grid, we built it to flip the classroom. So here is the problem that Lifeway faced, right? Lifeway, we have about 1,200 employees in Nashville. We have about 4,000 employees nationwide because we have all our stores, right? So the dilemma we had internally was we needed to train all our stores' employees so that they would know how to talk about new churches. We needed to train all our stores' employees how to, you know, what the vision, mission, and values. We need to train all our employees internally at Lifeway that our mission statement is to serve the church in her mission of making disciples, right? Every employee at Lifeway needs to know that we're not there just to publish. We're there actually to serve the church in her mission of making disciples. Because Lifeway will one day cease to exist, but the church won't. Right, so that's our mission. We needed to be able to train this. When we scoped out how much a platform like this would be, it was going to cost us hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. Every year. It's because it wasn't a one-time thing. So we said, hey, if this is so important, what would it look like for us to equip the church in an affordable way to be able to do it? In the early days, a lot of people compared us with Right Now Media. And I know there's probably a bunch of you guys who have Right Now Media. Right Now Media and Ministry Grid are very different. Right Now Media is small group video. Ministry Grid is leadership development videos. Small group, right now, is kind of a Netflix model where you watch the study, but you still need to buy the study guides. Ministry Grid, we don't have studies like that. Ministry Grid is we give you leadership development training. And we give you processing guides to do that because we don't want to give you a menu. We want to give you a map. So the thing that compares to Right Now at Lifeway is smallgroup.com, right? So if you're interested in that, smallgroup.com is discipleship guides, custom studies, you know, video training for small groups, not even video training. It's like video curriculum. Okay. So I just wanted to share that with you just so you would understand. The idea with Ministry Grid is it's built to develop your leaders. So you can assign content, track usage. There's 4,000 videos on leadership development, right? So you can, at your own time, you can take a look at that. But let me just go quickly. How would you actually use training events? How would you flip your training events using Ministry Grid? Well, here's what you would do. You would go into Ministry Grid. And once again, I just want to share this with you. You can do whatever you want with it. But in Ministry Grid, you would search in the training. You would say small group. It would pull out all the small group videos. You could say, hey, here's one small group video training that Bill Donahue that we filmed with them. Here's five videos. And then you can take a look at that video, those videos, and it would be a way for you to learn and be able to, you could assign that to your leaders. So instead of you doing the leadership training, you'd have an expert doing that. And then you can coach them and answer feedback questions on that, right? So that would be one way you could do it. You could go take a look categorically at all the training videos that we have there. Once you click into a session, this is Steve Gladen from Saddleback. You would then, you know, this is kind of what it would look like. You could click through the videos. All the videos are less than 15 minutes. Some are about 5, 10, because it's built on the whole idea of flipping the classroom. So that's kind of the idea. You would figure out, okay, these are the videos that we want to assign. You would assign them, and then you could track. You could do the coaching afterwards. In a normal event, you would send that video out, right? That would be part of the RSVP. And then when they come to your training event, you would just process it. So that's the whole idea with this. In terms of onboarding users, you wouldn't have to manually onboard everyone. You would just say, hey, go to Ministry Grid, and here's the up here, there's a membership code thing. There's a membership code. So you say, hey, if you're a small group leader, here's the 6 digits or 6 combination of a membership code. The moment they enter that in, they would be automatically grouped as a small group leader. So you wouldn't have to administrate. It's not administration heavy in that sense. In a new leader's training, this is what's exciting here. I mean, you would have training pathways, and this is the number one complaint we had about Ministry Grid is there's 4,000 videos. Where do I start? It'll take me a week to figure out what videos I want to assign. So what we did was we actually pulled the best, based on our educational values, development values. We pulled the best beginning, advanced, and expert trainings, and we grouped them here in each of these areas. So if you, let's say, wanted to do guest services, we brought Danny Frankson, who is the guest services guy at Summit Church, J.D. Greer. He's the reason Summit Church is as big, you know, because it's assimilation. We all know, right? I mean, you need to assimilate people well. You need to. So what he did, we filmed about 60 videos with them. And these are, if you have a brand new guest services volunteer, you would assign them this track. Advanced would be these ones, and expert would be those ones. So we have that all mapped out already. So what you would do in the new leaders training is, and here's the other thing, we have job profiles for every role. So what you do is, hey, you're a brand new leader. Here's the job description. Those are the videos. And that would be an easy way for you to onboard and orient brand new leaders. And what that would free you up to do is you could actually film your own intro video. Right? So you could say, hey, here's me explaining the vision of our ministry. And then I'm going to pick and choose three videos. And then here's me doing a concluding video. So the 4,000 videos are kind of like Lego, right? There's 4,000 individual pieces that you can arrange any way that you want. And you can add your own Lego pieces and create your own sequence. Or you can take the pre-assembled thing as you wish. So that's the whole premise around Ministry Grid, is to make training easy for you. And then in terms of ongoing training, here's a map. So this gets to the whole assessment thing. We have something called threshold assessments. So you could create like a 10-question spiritual formation assessment or like a small group leader assessment and say, okay, I'm going to ask you 10 questions about leading a small group. Right? And you do it on a Likert scale. So Likert scale is, so it would say, hey, have you ever, this is one of the questions, have you ever led a small group before? And then one would be, I have never done this. Two would be, I have been a part of a small group. Three would be, I have done this sometimes, right? Or I've done it once. Four would be, I've led multiple small groups. And five would be, I teach people how to lead small groups, right? Drop the mic, right? It's like, right? So it would be that Likert scale. And you just, it's simple, right? I mean, the idea is you just ask 10 questions based on their experience. And based on their percentage of experience, if they scored 0 to 33% or 0 to 40%, however you want to break it up, so they're answering mostly ones and twos, then they would automatically be assigned the foundational track, right, which is this. If they answer 41 to 59 or 34 to, 65, they would be this. If they answer 67 to 100, they would be assigned that. Right, so that's the automation. That's what exists now in technology that didn't exist years ago. Yes. Wow. Yeah, totally. So you could use 4,000 videos, or you could just use your own and use this as a platform. Oh, and this is how you would do it, right? So you would, in terms of this training, you would have them do an assessment. You would shoot them into a track. They would watch the first session. They would do a first assignment. Maybe they do a second one. And then you would meet with them. So this is high tech and high touch. So you're still praying with them. You're still discipling them. But what happens is in the time you're meeting with them, you're not saying, hey, let me teach you a new way to lead. You're saying, hey, how have you led? You know, what have you encountered? How can I pray for you? How's the life of the people in your group? Are you multiplying yourself? Who's your apprentice? Right? You can ask them coaching questions that you don't want to ask on video, right? That you want to see their response visually, right? You could do that. And then you would get them to do the third session, fourth session, and you'd be able to do that with due dates. In terms of staff development, what you would do with staff development is you would just do the same type of thing, but we have videos for admin assistants, the anatomy of conflict, how do you recruit a high-level team, lead a staff meeting, what are church staff responsibilities. So there's a ton of stuff in there that you can take a look at. But what you can do is if you're under 2 years old, right? Grab one of these when you come out. It's a flyer. It's all the free stuff that we give away with new churches as a result of being a ministry of Lifeway. So I'll put this, you can just tear one out and take it. But if you're older than 2 years as a church, then you can go there for a free 30-day trial. And here's the thing. Ministry Grid, when you go on, if you compare it to Blackboard or Moodle, which are learning management systems, it's night and day. It's night and day. Okay? We developed this a few years ago. If you compare it with like Vimeo or some of the newer ways to do things, you're going to be like, oh, this is kind of old. Right? I just want to lay that out. So compare it to a learning management system. But here's the thing. We are pouring hundreds of thousands of dollars into upgrading the platform. Right? It's hundreds of thousands of dollars that are going to make it where we have a Ministry Grid app. But by and large, a few years ago, you didn't need an app. You didn't need to do everything mobile first. You just didn't need to. Right? Because that's how fast technology changes. So a lot of this is iPad, computer. There was an app that you could use. There is an app that you can use. But the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we're pouring into developing the new version, you know, kind of the upgraded version, is all going to be mobile first. Right? So I just want to throw that out there. If you purchase now, you actually get grandfathered in with our older pricing. The pricing is going to be a little bit different when the new platform comes out. It's going to come out sometime late this year, next year. We don't know yet when. I just want to throw that out to you. What questions you guys have on this, on flipping the classroom, on any of this? Yes. So leadership pipeline stuff, I'm going to be talking about next session. Right, and actually it's 9:45. So if you have to go, let me just close in prayer and then we can answer questions. But I want to encourage you to come out next session, which is at 1 o'clock. The next session, I'm going to give you guys a leadership pipeline. I'm going to give you some tools, like some audits, to be able to figure out where you're at in your leadership development strategy. I'm going to give you some tools to create systems to develop leaders. So that's going to be a fun time. So I hope you join me there. But let me pray and we'll be done. Thank you, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that this time would be a time where we have grown, have learned, Lord, that you would allow us to take just one thing away from this time so that we could better develop leaders, better train leaders for your kingdom glory. Just pray, Lord, that for during the rest of the conference, that you would continue to grow us and nurture us and transform us and shape us for your glory and your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thanks, guys. I'll be here for questions if you have any.